Our youngest son is the director of the Biblical Counseling Center of Arizona. And he said to me something that I thought was really great. He said, "I don't do counseling because I love counseling." He says, "I do counseling because I love discipleship." And good biblical counseling will be discipleship. We'll look at the things the way God puts them together, and we will take the principles that God has given us and apply them to the situations of our lives, and we'll see God work and bring things together and make things happen, because that's what God does. I was discipling a guy in our church, and he came to church, and he was telling me about all these things that had happened during his week, and he's so excited. And I looked at him, and I said, "Yeah." And he says, "I thought you'd be more excited." I said, "I am excited. But that's what God does. He works. He does great and mighty things. And we get to see it. And it should be normal in our lives rather than an exception. It should be something we see consistently in our lives. I hope and pray you are. This week, I hope will help. Take your Bible, if you would, to Colossians chapter 2. Pastor told me that you guys use the ESV, so I will try and do that as we have the opportunity. But all my memory is everything is in the King James, and so you will see me doing that a lot. But I have it here on my iPad, and I will be able to do it. Colossians chapter 2, verse 1. I love this verse because I've had a lot of people suspicious because you're a missionary evangelist. And they're suspicious. You're a special speaker. What's he here for? What's his motive? Why would he want to come and do this? I mean, there's something in this. There's got to be something behind the scenes. And I've seen that. People don't trust you. I remember talking with a guy, a rancher down in central Colorado, and he told me, he's asking me a question about why people follow cults and different things. And I said, "Well, I'd ask you a question. If I told you you had to do this and this and this in order to get to heaven, what would you say?" And he looked at me and said, "I'd say, who do you think you are?" Well, you know, that's kind of the attitude we have in the West. That's kind of the attitude. Until you prove yourself, until you show yourself worthy of my trust, I don't know if I can really follow you. I don't know if I can really believe what you're saying. Paul dealt with that, because he addresses that in verse 1. He kind of puts it in a way that I think is good for us to understand. He says, "I have a struggle. I have a conflict in me. Because this is my desire, even for people I don't even know. I've not met you face to face. I don't know your circumstances. I don't know all the things that you're involved in this life. I don't know the struggles you're going through." And we all have them. One of my favorite sayings at stores and checkouts and stuff is, they ask, "How you doing?" And I say, "I'm fine, except for the bad parts." Yeah. And they kind of laugh like that. And then I follow it up with, and I say, "And we've all got them. It's just, how do you deal with them?" And that has afforded me the opportunity to share Christ in various situations. Because it is. It's how do we deal with things in life? You're dealing with things right now in your own life. You have situations I have no clue about. I'm not even going to pretend to know about. Why? Because I don't. And you don't know what's going on in my life. I mean, are we being honest? That's true, isn't it? We don't. I want to know. I like to know because I want to be your friend. And I have lots of friends. And I enjoy that because I do really care. And because of that, we do have friends. Praise the Lord for that. That's nice. I love it. But come into a situation, not been here, not where I know all of you. I don't have that luxury of saying, "Oh, well, I know how your week's been. I know what you do at work. I know how much stress you're under in that job. I know what you're dealing with in those finances or whatever else. I know what medical issues you're dealing with. I know what your family's going through. I don't know any of that." Just being honest, right? But look at the passage. Verse 1, Paul says it this way: "For I would that you knew what great conflict I have for you, Or as it says, I want you to know how great a struggle I have for you and for those at Laodicea and for all who have not seen me face to face. Those people I haven't even met yet. This is the attitude of his heart. This is the attitude of his life. This is what he wants for people he hasn't even met. So let's get past the introductions of, you don't know me, you don't know what's going on in my life. Let's get right down to where Paul's talking about here. This is what I'm truly concerned about for everybody. This is what my attitude is. This is what my desire is. This is why I do what I do. This is why I go around. This is why I spend the time. I could be doing a lot of different things. We all could be, but here we are here this morning. And there's a reason you're here. You want to know what God says. You want to know what God wants in His Word. You want to know how God can work in the situations that you're dealing with even right now. You have a purpose for even being here. If it's just simply to honor the Lord and to be an encouragement to the friends that you have around you, praise the Lord for all of that. But here's what Paul's saying in verse 2 as you come to this passage. Here's my desire for people that I haven't even met yet. I don't even know these people yet. But this is my desire, that their hearts may be encouraged or comforted. Boy, I wish I could do that for people. Part of the reason I even went into ministry early on was I care about people. And I don't like to see hurt. Matter of fact, I hate it. I mean, there's a lot of hurting people around this world. Various ways. Various things that come up. And I wish I could comfort. I wish I could be an encouragement in some way. And I want to be. I don't want them to feel like they're all alone in their struggles. Because there's people that care. There's people that really care. If you've not been in ministry very long, it doesn't take long until you've had to deal with suicide. I don't want those people to think that there's nobody there. Somebody cares. Somebody cares. God does. Number one. That's one of the reasons I went into ministry rather than going into ranching. The reason being is because I have, in Christ, we have the greatest answer this world needs. I can tell people about a God who loves them, cares about their needs, cares about their life, cares about what's going on, and can change their situations in a right way. What a great privilege I have. What a great opportunity. And that's Paul's heart. I'm concerned. I care. I really want this for people, that they might be encouraged, that they might be comforted. But how are they comforted? The very first thing he says is talking about being knit together in love. Where does true love come from? From God. It's not a manipulative love. This world uses love in order to get. It's a manipulative love. You know, and if you don't give what I think I deserve from you, then forget you. I'm going to move on to something else that will. And a church, you know, I heard this about churches. That church isn't very loving. I had a guy come up to me and tell me that. My church isn't very loving. I looked at him and said, that's a lousy way to talk about yourself. Aren't you a part of your church? Why aren't you loving? It starts with us. Individually. And that's what he's talking about here, being knit together in love. But where does that love come from? We don't love because we are all of a sudden really good at it. No, we love because we have the love of God shared in our hearts. It's been given to us. And it's been given the capacity. We've been given the capacity to love as we grow in Christ, as we experience His love. People ask, tell me, you know, I'm just not so sure I'm loving very well. And I said, well, do you have a problem loving God? And they said, yeah. And I said, well, listen, what you need to do is study out how much God loves you, and you will find it's easier to love Him. Why? Because we love Him because He first loved us. And if you don't believe He loves you, I guarantee you, you don't love Him. Why would you? If you're unsure of His love, if you're unsure of a God that actually cares, then why would you care? But I have to say, that's a false message that people take and want to believe about God, that He really doesn't care, when really He does. He cares about each one of us, so much so that He sent His Son to die on the cross, that you and I might be saved, that we might be able to have a relationship with Him. And that's the incredible thing. You and I have been given such a privilege. We can have this intimate, personal, love-based relationship with Christ. What a privilege we've been given. What an honor has been given to us. But how many people neglect that? How many people don't want that? How many people push that away? You can understand Paul as he's saying this, and he's saying that their hearts might be knit together, that we might experience this together as brothers and sisters in Christ, that we might know the love of God and what that means in our hearts and our lives, that we might understand that. And then he goes all into the next portion, and I love how he puts it. It's just so impacting. It says this, being knit together in love, to reach all the riches of full assurance of understanding and the knowledge of God's mystery, which is Christ. I think sometimes we allow ourselves to be so shallow that we miss the blessings that God really intends for us to have. We allow ourselves to just coast along in life. And, you know, this is good enough. I got enough of church. I don't want any more than that. And you're missing out. I mean, you have no clue what you're missing with that kind of an attitude. Because Paul's desire here is that you might understand, that you might have that full assurance of understanding. There's a confidence that comes in this. And we've often done this. We've equated confidence with pride. You know, somebody who's confident, they're prideful. No, I had a camp director one time told me, we need to teach our kids how to have confidence, self-confidence. And I said, they all have confidence. It's just, where is it being placed? A lot of times our confidence is in ourselves. That's misplaced. Or our confidence is in somebody else we trust. That's sometimes misplaced. My dad was one of those guys that teased people a lot. He told me when I was just 5 years old, 4 or 5 years old, that my brains were in my feet. So I went to first grade knowing with every bit of confidence that my brains were in my feet. I had never thought about somebody who lost a leg. Never. Never put that together. I soon found out that my confidence in my dad was misplaced. That you might say your dad was cruel. No, my dad wasn't cruel. He was fun. He was a lot of fun. When you started to understand, there was a time when he was teasing and doing those types of things. It was a lot of fun, especially when we had dudes coming from back east. Now, this horse is Widowmaker. This one's killer. One of them gets to know the horses. But you think about it. There's so much fun that you could have. But confidence has got to be in the right place. When it comes to the serious issues of life, when it comes to the daily manifestations of life, where's your confidence? Paul wants our assurance. His desire, here's his attitude of his heart. I want their confidence to be in the Lord. I want them to know that there's a God who loves them and He knows how to build their life. He knows how to put everything together in their life. He knows and He can take away and He can put in and He can do all these things. And I want them to experience all the benefits that there are in Christ. That's the God I want to tell people about. That's what I want them to understand. I want them to hear. I want them to know. Why? Because we settle for so little when God has so much. And we say, that's enough. No, God has so much. We should have confidence in Him to give Him everything. My life's yours, Lord. Romans 12, 1 and 2 become very easy then. What's the detriment to Romans 12, 1 and 2? Presenting our bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. But chapter 2, or 12, verse 3 says this, and do not think more highly of ourselves than we ought to think. We have our confidence in ourselves rather than saying, God, you know, I can trust you. My confidence is in you, Lord. You can take care of my life. I write it in the introduction to my second book about an event that happened in Cody. I got so frustrated as a teenager. I think I was 17 or so. I was a runner. I did all sorts of things back then. And I just got so frustrated one evening, I took off running. And I was coming through a field that had a path through it out on the outskirts of town. I'd already gone from one end of town, around the other end, all the way up towards Powell and back towards Cody. I was on my way back. It was dark, starting to get pretty dark. Stars were out. And I just came to the end of myself. And I sat down in this field. And I looked at the stars and I looked at the outlines of the mountains around town. And I said, God, you're bigger than all this. I think you can handle my life. I think you can take care of my life. And it started in me, and I can't say that I followed it completely, but it started in me a drive and desire to follow the Lord and to seek Him and to seek what God has. And I'm full of tears out there because I was done. I mean, I just ran 14 miles. I'm done. I sat there just weeping. And God worked in my life in such a way that I found a new confidence, that verse, being confident of this very thing, that He which began a good work in you will bring it to completion. He'll make it happen. Can I trust Him? Yeah, I can. So I got all done. And I walked to a nearby, we had a bowling alley, didn't have a bar or anything in it, so the kids from church could show up there. There were some kids there, and I went in and asked them from our church. I said, hey, can I catch a ride up the house? Because I was still a couple miles from home. I was beat. I imagine I looked a mess. You know what they started doing? Teasing me. They started saying all sorts of things about why I looked the way I did. I got a ride home. I learned then that it doesn't matter what anybody else around me does. I'm going to follow the Lord. And I'm going to let God work. Whether they get on board or not. I then became president of our youth group at our church, and I took every one of the kids out. Every one of them out. This is my car. You can ask your dad about it, Jen. My first car was an Austin Healey Sprite, two-seater. I could only take one person out at a time. But I took every one of the kids in our youth group out after that happened. And I said, what do you want to do for God? I mean, we have a great opportunity in our youth group. We have a great opportunity here in our church. And God's working. And what do you want to do? You know what the number one answer was? Well, I don't know. And then I had somebody else. One of the girls said this. Well, I'd like to do something. And I said, what? And she said, I don't know. But she wanted at least to do something. So I went back and told my pastor. I said, Pastor, I had this happen. And he didn't know I had been doing this. I'd been taking them all out to the what we had at Cody at that time was Bud's Drive-In. To Bud's Drive-In. And I bought him a pop, and we sat, and we talked, and talked to him, and I asked him these questions. And I said, these are the answers I got. And he looked at me, and he knew I was discouraged, and he said, well, do you want to do something? And I said, yeah. And he said, well, I do too. And you got one more maybe out of all those kids. So let's do this. Let's just go. The others will either get in or get out. Get on or get off. You know what that taught me? My life is not dependent. My spiritual life is not dependent on what's going on in the youth group. It's not dependent on what's going on around with people around me. My life, my spiritual walk is dependent on my relationship with Jesus Christ. My walk with Him. Your life is dependent on Jesus Christ. And if you do not have full assurance of that walk, if you don't have full assurance of that relationship, then you're going to go somewhere else. And you know what happened to a lot of those kids that said, I don't know? I can give you a list of those that are not in church and haven't darkened the door after they got out of high school. Which is sad. I can tell you about their lives. The struggles some of them have had. Does that mean everybody that followed the Lord was doing good? No, not always. Does that mean nobody had troubles? No. But God's there for us. And He will work in our hearts and our lives, and He will build us rightly. And He will put into your life. And you can have a good, solid marriage relationship. You can have a good, solid family built around Christ. You can have all these things. You can experience love, joy, peace, long-suffering, temperance. And yet we don't. Because we're not sold out, we don't have that full assurance. We're not confident in our God, nor that relationship. God knows how to build you better than I do. God knows how to build you. Your relationship is between Him and you. Walk with Him. So he goes on in this passage. And folks, you talk about the mystery. The mystery is in verse 27 of chapter 1. He says, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. You have Christ in you. You have a personal relationship between you and Him. And it's not dependent on what's going on around you. It's right there between you and Him. And it's an intimate, personal, love-based relationship. And it should be affecting your and my life as we walk with our God, because God will build us and He'll put into our lives all these things, and He knows how to do it better than anybody. And you'll get to be, my wife, we're not old. We're older. We're not old yet. But we can look back and I can look back and say, you know what? Following God has not been a bad thing. It's been the best thing. God knows what He's doing. He knows how to build a life. Do you even want that? Do you want to see God do His work? And then you start getting that intimacy of relationship. We're going to talk about it this week, how God works and what He's doing in life. And you look back at your day, you look back at your week, and you say, here's the hand of God here. Here He did this in this day. He did this in this day. And you just see it all the time. Why? Because that's what God does. That's how it works. Then he goes on in chapter 1, verse 28, he says, whom we preach, Christ, warning and teaching, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom. The wisdom which comes from God. James 3, great illustration of the wisdom that comes from God. James 1, how to get it. You just think of these things. God has that for us. How do you know what to do in business and stuff? I've had guys tell me, as I've talked with them about business, are you a business consultant? No, I just happen to learn. God gives us the ability to learn. God does that. He teaches us. He shows us. And He uses it in our lives. Great opportunity to share. God knows how to put those things together. But we do it for the purpose that we may present every man perfect or mature in Christ Jesus. Let's go on to maturity. Let's be what God wants us to be. You think He's going to build your life wrong? Think He's going to take you places He doesn't prepare you for? Do you think He's going to do it right or not? Where's your confidence? Paul's wanting them to have full assurance, every bit of confidence. I always put it this way. Somebody's been walking with the Lord for 30 or 40 years. You don't have to worry about them. They're not going back. They're not going back to the things of the world. They know this is it. This is where I want to be. This is where I want to stay. This is where I want to keep my life because Christ is my all in all. He's the one that puts it together, right? We've messed it up a few times, haven't we? I think all of us could say that, some way, shape, or form. We didn't react right in this situation, didn't say the right things in that situation. I hate it when I do that. Don't you? But by God's grace, I want to continue growing. I want to be ready to do it better next time. I want to deal with what I have to deal with as I grow. And all of us have those issues. All of us have those things. I'm fine except for the bad parts. And we've all got them. It's how do you deal with them? Do you let God work? Do you have confidence in Him? That He can make your life what He wants it to be. Do you honestly believe His will is good? Do you really believe that? Then if you do, and the Bible teaches that, and those of us that walk with the Lord have tried to be that over the years and seen God doing that would testify it is good. Why would I want anything else in this life? I go to this many times. My wife is not better off in my hands. She's better off in God's hands. My children are not better off in my hands. They're better off in God's hands. My family, not better off in my hands. It takes my life is not better off in my hands. They're better off in God's hands. Everything in my life is better off in His hands. So why don't we give Him everything? Why don't we have that confidence? Why don't we share that confidence and encourage each other and comfort each other with that confidence? God, you know what you're doing. If there's sin in my life, He knows what He's doing when He convicts me of it and shows me, you know what, you went the wrong direction here. You need to deal with that. He knows what he's doing. And he has a purpose in it. God's going to build you. And you're going to let just move. He knows what he's doing. It's full assurance. Somebody that's there, I don't have to beg them to go to church. They want to. I don't have to beg them to read the Bible. They're already students. I don't have to beg them to tell other people about the Lord. That's a part of their ministry. It just comes out. All you and me, God, let's go. We're walking together. We're working together. He's involved in every aspect of my life. So you don't have to beg people to do that. They're already there. And it's simply because they're in a relationship that is personal, that is intimate, that is love-based between them and God. I hope and pray that you. If it's not, we'd love to share with you what it means to be saved. How to know that relationship. How to know that relationship. How to walk in that relationship. So I'd love to see you experience this. And you can. Don't sell yourself short. Because you say, oh, God couldn't do that for me. Yes, he can. That's God. That's what he does. Don't sell him short. What he does. And his will is good. He will work it. Let him work. You can resist. You can say, I'm not going there. You can do all those things. You're the one that can hurt. You're the one that's going to hurt. It's sad to see. It's just a matter of how bad. And I've seen too much of it. When we don't have to go there. And I'm thinking of people right now in my mind. And I'm thinking of a family member in my mind. In the same way. One of my siblings. We don't have to go there. So I challenge you this morning. What's your attitude about your walk with God? What's your relationship there? Where are you walking? Where's your confidence? Is it in him and his word? Do you believe he can build your life or not? Do you think he can work in what you're going through or not? Where's your confidence? I don't know your situation. Just like Paul didn't know face to face the people that he was concerned about. But this is what he wished for them. This was his desire. And we can have it. And we're into intellectual academia in our family. We have a lot of discussions on those realms. Verse 3 says this, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And if you want that, you want Christ. If you want to call yourself intellectual, you want Christ. You want Christ in your life. Full and free. So I challenge you. Where's your confidence? Let's pray as we close. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for just simply starting this subject this morning. Lord, we all have confidence in something. Somebody. But may our confidence be in our God. You know what you're doing. You know how to build. You know how to put things together. You know how to build the church. You know how to build our families. You know how to build our individual lives. And Lord, you know there's many things that are detriments to that, and we're going to look at some of them. But then we're going to look at all the great things that you've established in us. And we're excited. I'm excited about what you do, Lord. It's just what a privilege it is to be a Christian. What a privilege it is to know you, to walk with you, to experience life that only you put together. And Lord, it's just a joy. Even in the midst of hardship and difficulty, you're there. You're guiding, you're enabling, you're giving your grace, you're giving your strength. And Lord, you're so good to us. Thank you, God, our God. And thank you for your love and grace to us. God, I don't know what's going on in people's hearts here, but I know you, God. You know what's going on in each of us. Challenge us in our thinking. Challenge us in our stands. Challenge us in our lives where, see if there be any wicked way in us. Lord, change our thinking. Search our thoughts. Search our minds. Our hearts, Lord. Show us where we've stepped out or where we've moved away or where our lack of confidence in you is, Lord, our lack of faith. Challenge us, Lord, as only you can for your glory. Lord, you want to build us and you want to do it right. May we experience all that you have for us as we walk with you. And we'll give you the glory for our lives, you the glory for what you're doing and what you've done. Just even the privilege we have of having a relationship with you to experience your love. What a great God you are. To you be the praise. We pray all these things in Christ's name. Amen.